So Genesis 12, beginning at verse 1, reading through the first part of verse 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who curses you I will curse. And by you all the families of the earth shall bless themselves." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him.
Eternal God, we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Christ, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love the story of Abraham and Sarah. In many respects, it is the foundational story in the Old Testament, the story of God calling Abraham and Sarah and sending them on a journey of faith. One of the things that I find interesting about the Bible is that it is not so much a book about rules and regulations or abstract theology, but for the most part, it is a book about journeys. We find that the apostles in the New Testament journey when they have the Spirit upon them. They go out into the world. They do not stay in any one location, but they go out. They go out and proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself, when he is baptized, he journeys. He doesn't stay in one place. He doesn't stay in Galilee, but he turns his face towards Jerusalem. And much of the gospel is about Jesus on the way, journeying on the way to Jerusalem. And of course, in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, when they are set free from Egyptian bondage, they don't go straight to the land of Canaan. If you look at a map, the land of Canaan isn't very far from Egypt, but God has them to journey, to wander in the wilderness. It is there where they learn what it means to be the people of God. And then, of course, there is the story of Abraham, the story that Krista read this morning, where God calls Abraham and sends Abraham on a journey. I should say that by the time we get to this part of the Bible in the book of Genesis, that God's good creation is in pretty dire straits. The human beings that God created to take care and order his good creation has been disobedient. And the result has been violence and bloodshed and death. So much so that we are told in the book of Genesis that God actually grieves that God created human beings. It is a terrible and sad indictment about us human beings and the mess that we've made of God's good creation. But now in chapter 12, God has called a new pair of human beings, Abraham and Sarah. And through them and their obedience, God will undertake to redeem all of humanity. The whole world will be blessed through Abraham and Sarah. And it will begin with a journey of faith. And so God's first command to Abraham is to leave. Leave your community, leave the land of your birth, leave the house of your father, leave everything that gives you meaning and purpose and security, and journey to a place where I will show you. God doesn't even tell Abraham where he is going, where God is leading him. God just tells him to leave, and I will show you. I will be with you. The important thing is for Abraham to let go of one way of life in order to embrace a whole new way of life, a way that God will show him. And so God tells Abraham to leave, to get up and go. Now keep in mind that Abraham is already 75 years old. He and Sarah are in their golden years, and that's usually not the time in your life when you want to be called into the unknown. Risk-taking and adventure-seeking is something that young people do. People who have the whole future ahead of them. People who believe that the world can still be made a better place, a different place. But by the time you make it to around 40 or 50, you become somewhat of a stakeholder in the world. You become vested and comfortable. Yes, you know the world is an imperfect place, but you've made your peace with the world. And so Abraham is 75 years old. He's made his peace with the world, you would think. But there's something about the life of faith that doesn't want us to make our peace with the world. There's something about the life of faith that doesn't want us to become too comfortable, too complacent, too settled. It's almost impossible for God to use us whenever we become too comfortable and too complacent and too settled. God is constantly looking for people who are willing to take risks, who are willing to step out in faith, who are willing to be obedient and enter the unknown. I'm convinced that one of the problems, or one of the big problems in the American church, particularly in many of our formerly mainline Protestant denominations, is that we've become too comfortable and too complacent and too settled. But God tells Abraham to get up and go, to leave. Leave everything that is familiar to you. Leave your comfort zone. Leave those places where you've tempted to become settled. And so, unlike Adam and Eve that we read about last week, Abraham and Sarah are obedient. They move out and embark upon a journey. And in doing so, they alter the course of history. And Abraham becomes known as the father of faith. Now, of course, this story is not just about Abraham, but it's also about all of us. For we too have been called to embark upon a journey of faith. But don't go packing your bags just yet, because the journey that we are called to go on is not necessarily an outward journey where we are called to move from one geographical place to another. I've done that, and I know some of you have done that, and it's hard. It's hard to leave family and friends behind. It's hard to let go of familiar places and familiar routines. It's hard to journey. It's hard to go from one place after you have been there for a long time. It's hard to leave home and to go to a completely different place. But the journey that we are called to make is not an outward journey. The journey that we are called to make is an inward journey, a spiritual journey. It's a journey of the heart. And it's been my experience that that's the most difficult journey of all. It's far more difficult than moving to a new city or to a new state or to another country. It is more difficult because we are asked to move away from those definitions of ourselves that give our lives meaning and purpose and security. And we are called to move towards a whole new understanding of ourselves as children of God. I like the way the biblical scholar Dan McClendon puts it. He says, we are called to move away from a self-regarding heart that is curved in on itself and to move to an other-regarding heart that is open to the love of God and the love of our fellow human beings. That's what Jesus is calling us to during this season of Lent. That's what Jesus means when he himself says, repent, turn your life around, and follow me. He wants us to move out on a journey where we turn from ourselves and from the things that we believe fortifies our lives and sends us in the direction of seeking God and seeking the life that only God can live, can give us. And so we too are called to go on a journey. Last month in the newsletter, we wrote about Isabel Bomfree, a young African-American woman who, in 1826, with her infant daughter in hand, ran away from the New York family that owned her. She literally walked out of slavery and into freedom. And at one point, she thought about going back. She thought about going back to that New York farm, going back to that family, going back to the life of slavery, because slavery was the only life that she had ever known. And to be quite frank, the prospects of a young black woman in 1826 who could not read and write and who had an infant daughter to take care of was not too great. And so she thought about going back and living that life of a slave. But she heard God's voice calling to her. She heard God's voice calling her name, calling her to step out in faith, calling her into the unknown of freedom. And so she responded to that call. And God took care of her. She became a blessing. Her life was certainly not easy, as you can imagine, but she became a blessing. She became a powerful abolitionist against slavery. And she also was a powerful activist for equal rights for women. God used this life of this young woman who courageously stepped out in faith, this young African-American woman who could not read and write, whose prospects seemed to be quite grim, and God used her and raised her up as a mighty voice to do God's work in the world. God gave her a new name, Sojourner Truth, one who journeys towards the truth. And that is what the life of faith is for all of us. It is a journey away from all that enslaves us and a move towards God's truth. For each of us, the journey of truth will be a little different. Some of us are called to move away from our fears and our anxieties and our apprehensions that have come to dominate our lives. Some of us may very well be afraid of what the future holds, afraid of other people, afraid of those who are different from us. But the life of faith, we are called to move away from our fears and to move away from our apprehensions. Some of us are called to move away from our hatreds and our resentments, our bitterness and our envy. And we are called to move towards a life of forgiveness and reconciliation. Some of us are called to leave behind our greed and our lust and to embrace a life of contentment and chastity. But whatever your particular journey may be, they all entail the same thing. They all entail obedience, first of all. Everything that Abraham did was contingent upon his obedience to God. And I'm sure Abraham was tempted like Adam and Eve was tempted in the story that we read last week. I'm sure Abraham could have thought of 101 rationalizations as to why he should not listen to God, why he should stay in his father's tent, why he should stay in the land of his birth, why he should not move out and go to the place where God has told him. But he does. He is obedient. He listens to God. And he leaves. He leaves everything that is familiar to him. We're reminded this morning that obedience begins here. Obedience begins by worship. It begins by coming to worship. It begins by opening ourselves up to God so that we can hear what God is saying to us. It begins in prayer and in study. It begins with us coming together and worshiping God. Some of us sometimes find it difficult to discern God's will and call on our lives, but usually it's because we've been disobedient. If we can't be obedient in the things that God has called us to do concerning worship and prayer and study, then hardly can we be obedient to the big things that God is calling us to and the ways that God is calling us to live our lives. But Abraham is obedient. Abraham hears God calling to him, and Abraham responds to God in obedience. The second thing that the journey entails is trust. To journey in faith is to be somewhat vulnerable. Everything that God calls Abraham to do is somewhat counterintuitive, to leave his family, to leave the land of his birth, and to go to a place where God will show him. It's all counterintuitive. Abraham will have to trust God every step in the way. He will have to trust God with his life. He will have to trust that God will keep the promises that God made to him. God had made Abraham a promise to make him out of a great nation. Through Abraham, God says that he will bless the entire world. And we know the problem with that, that Abraham and his wife Sarah is barren. They have no children. And in the ancient world, to be barren meant that you had no future. Your future was closed down. Children were not only a way of pulling yourself into the future, but it was also necessary. They were necessary to take care of you in your old age. In the ancient world, they didn't have Social Security like we have it today, so that if you were going to be taken care of, you would have to be taken care of by your children. But Abraham has no children. Him and Sarah are barren, and yet God is calling him to go to this strange place, a whole new place. How is Abraham going to survive? For most of us, it sounds like a call to death. And yet God calls Abraham to do it, and Abraham trusts God. He puts his faith and trust in God, that God will be with him, that God will walk with him, that God will take care of him, that God will give him a future where the future closed down. And indeed, the text wants us to understand that it's not just Abraham and Sarah who are barren, but the whole world is barren. The whole world has its future closed down. The whole world that God created, that God made good, has turned into a place that has no future, a place that is filled with death and violence, a place where people are turned against one another, a place with very little future. And yet God calls Abraham to go out in faith because God will give Abraham a future. And God, through Abraham, will give the whole world a future. And so obedience and trust are necessary for our journey in faith. It is difficult, of course, for us to make that journey. It is difficult for us to let go of ourselves. It is difficult for us to move from a heart that is curved in on itself and to move in a direction that is geared and oriented towards God and towards other people. We tend to hold on to those things that we believe define our lives. We tend to hold on to the things that we believe bring us comfort. We tend to hold on to those things because we believe that they bring us security. I've been reading a book of late by the Jewish historian Benny Morris called Righteous Victims. And it's about the origins of the current conflict in the Holy Land between Jews and Palestinians. And what I find interesting in the book is that the way that everyone who is currently embroiled in the conflict tends to hang on to that sense of victimhood that they've experienced in the past. Many Jews immigrate to the Holy Land because of the persecution that they suffer at the hands of Christians. We need to understand that. It was we Christians who persecuted Jews. It is we Christians who are responsible for the Holocaust. It is we Christians who brought so much pain and suffering on Jews. But many of the Jews brought that sense of victimhood and that history of persecution with them when they immigrated to the Holy Land. And many of the Palestinian Arabs that reside in the Holy Land remember too their own humiliation at the hands of the Ottoman Turks, where they lived as second-class citizens, where they were often humiliated and derided. They brought that sense of baggage with them. And it's because you are dealing with people who have that sense of victimhood and baggage with them that they continue to live at odds with one another. Not being able to see past their own suffering and their own victimization, not being able to break out of their own identity of victimhood, to be able to embrace the neighbor. And so instead, they keep going around and around themselves, around and around their own pain, around and around their own victimhood, and it causes them to be at enmity with one another. Enmity and strife and conflict that rages even to this day. The same thing is happening right now in the Crimea, in the places where we've been keeping abreast with on the news, in the Ukraine. I saw on the news the other day a violent conflict where groups of people are attacking other groups of people, holding on to their ethnic and national identities because they believe that those are the things that can give them security. They believe that those national identities and ethnic identities are what gives them meaning and purpose in life. And we believe those things too. We often believe the same thing. We believe that we can find our meaning and purpose in life by holding on to some aspect of our identities. We believe in race. We believe in class. We believe in money. We believe in all of those things, that we can just have those things, and we can just live into those things, that we can just hold on to those things. Then we'll be able to orient ourselves. We'll be able to find ourselves. We'll be able to fix ourselves. We will know who we are. We can just have those things. The end result is a world that looks pretty much like that world in the book of Genesis, that grieved God's heart. A world of violence and bloodshed and conflict. A world that grieved God's heart. But the good news is that God calls a new couple. God calls Abraham and Sarah. And God tells them to leave. To leave all of that. To leave that conflict. To leave that bloodshed. To leave those identities where we circle around ourselves. To leave those identities where we exclude others. To leave those places where we are afraid and anxious. To leave those places. And to go to a place where God will show you. A place where you will assume a whole new identity as the people of God. God promises Abraham that he will bless him, that through Abraham, God will bless the entire world. And God keeps that promise. It is through Abraham's seed that the Lord Jesus Christ enters into the world. And Jesus dies for the redemption of all of us and for the redemption of the whole world. And you and I, we now too are part of Abraham's seed. We are part of Abraham's progeny. We are part of that great nation, that great people that God promised Abraham. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been given a new name, a name of blessings. We belong to God's people, and we exist not for ourselves, but we exist to bless, to be a blessing to the entire world. That is our function as the people of God. During this season of Lent, we are called to remember that. During this season of Lent, we are called to remember the journey that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ invites us to take. A journey away from ourselves and a journey towards the cross, as we heard sung so eloquently earlier. We are called to die to self so that we might be able to live. It's what Jesus calls being born again, dying to self so that we might be able to have true life, genuine life, life that is oriented and geared towards God. I want to close this morning with a quote from Sojourner Truth, that wonderful, powerful woman of God who stepped out on faith, stepped out of slavery and into a life of freedom. She says, "My name was Isabella, but when I left the house of bondage, I left everything behind. I was not going to stay in Egypt for nothing. And so I went to the Lord and asked him to give me a new name. And the Lord gave me Sojourner, because I was to travel up and down the land, showing the people their sins, and to be a sign unto them. And afterwards I told the Lord I wanted another name, because everybody else had two names. And the Lord gave me truth, because I was to declare truth to the people. That is all of our names. We are all Sojourner Truth this morning. That's what the season of Lent is all about. We are all asked to go on a journey. We are all asked to seek the truth that belongs to God, the truth in which we are called to die to all that we have been, so that we might have eternal life. In this season of Lent, let us remember that walk to truth. Let us remember to pick up our cross and deny ourselves and to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he seeks to bring us into everlasting life. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for your grace and for your mercy in our lives. We give you thanks for calling us, not because we were the smartest or because we were the best looking, not because we were good, but you have called us because we needed to see the way that leads to everlasting life. Lord, we ask that you give us the courage to leave all of those places where we've become complacent, all of those places where we've settled in, all of those places where we feel comfortable. Stir us up, Lord. Stir up our hearts so that we might be able to step into your future, a future that brings life and life in abundance. We pray, Lord, that as we continue to walk in this Lenten journey, that you will give us the courage to move in the direction that you are calling us into, a direction of peace and love, a direction of forgiveness, a direction of light and life in a darkened world that is filled with violence and bloodshed and conflict. Help us to be the people that you have called us to be, so that we might be the blessing to the whole world. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.